turned up at the station at Frankfurt and casually remarked that he was going on to see the most all-fired old Methuselah of a town in Europe, and that he guessed that so much traveling alone was enough to send an intelligent, active citizen into the melancholy ward of a daft house, we took the pretty broad hint and suggested that we should join forces. We found on comparing notes afterwards that we had each intended to speak with some diffidence or hesitation, so as not to appear too eager, such not being a good compliment to the success of our married life. But the effect was entirely marred by our both beginning to speak at the same instant, stopping simultaneously, and then going on together again. Anyhow, no matter how, it was done, and Elias P. Hutchison became one of our party. Straightway, Amelia and I found the pleasant benefit. Instead of quarrelling, as we had been doing, we found that the restraining influence of a third party was such that we now took every opportunity of spooning in odd corners. Amelia declares that ever since she has, as the result of that experience, advised all her friends to take a friend on the honeymoon. Well, we did Nuremberg together, and much enjoyed the racy remarks of our transatlantic friend, who, from his quaint speech and his wonderful stock of adventures, might have stepped out of a novel. We kept, for the last object of interest in the city to be visited, the Burg, and on the day appointed for the visit, strolled round the outer wall of the city by the eastern side. The Burg is seated on a rock dominating the town, and an immensely deep fosse guards it on the northern side. Nuremberg has been happy in that it was never sacked. Had it been, it would certainly not be so spick-and-span perfect as it is at present. The ditch has not been used for centuries, and now its base is spread with tea gardens and orchards, of which some of the trees are of quite respectable growth. As we wandered round the wall, dawdling in the hot July sunshine, we often paused to admire the views spread before us, and in especial the great plain covered with towns and villages and bounded with a blue line of hills, like a landscape of Claude Lorraine. From this we always turned with new delight to the city itself, with its myriad of quaint old gables and acre-wide red roofs dotted with dormer windows, tier upon tier. A little to our right rose the towers of the Burg, and nearer still, standing grim, the Torture Tower, which was, and is perhaps, the most interesting place in the city. For centuries the tradition of the Iron Virgin of Nuremberg has been handed down as an instance of the horrors of cruelty of which man is capable. We had long looked forward to seeing it, and here, at last, was its home. In one of our pauses we leaned over the wall of the moat and looked down. The garden seemed quite 50 or 60 feet below us, and the sun pouring into it with an intense, moveless heat, like that of an oven. Beyond rose the grey, grim wall, seemingly of endless height, and losing itself right and left in the angles of bastion and counterscarp. Trees and bushes crowned the wall, and above again towered the lofty houses on which massive beauty, time, has only set the hand of approval. The sun was hot, and we were lazy. Time was our own, and we lingered, leaning on the wall. Just below us was a pretty sight, a great black cat lying stretched in the sun, whilst round her gambolled prettily a tiny black kitten. Her mother would wave her tail for the kitten to play with, or would raise her feet and push away the little one as an encouragement to further play. They were just at the foot of the wall, and Elias B. Hutchison, in order to help the play, stooped and took from the wall a moderate-sized pebble. "See," he said, "I will drop it near the kitten, and they will both wonder where it came from."
"Oh, be careful," said my wife. "You might hit the dear little thing."
"Not me, ma'am," said Elias P. "Why, I'm as tender as a Maine cherry tree. Lord bless you, I wouldn't hurt the poor pretty little critter more than I'd scalp a baby. And you may bet your variegated socks on that. See, I'll drop it far away on the outside."